Hello, and welcome to Room Escape Divas, the Room Escape Artist Episode, Part 2. Hello, David and Lisa.
Hello.
Howdy.
Yay, you guys are there. We have you calling in from New York, correct?
Close enough.
Okay, I always get this wrong. I'm sorry.
Yes,
Not everybody else knows where you guys are except me.
Because you're Canadian.
We're just across the river in New Jersey.
Sounds great. Now, we're excited about this episode. I think David actually came up with this idea.
Figure we could have an interesting conversation about really hyped games.
Yes.
Yeah. There are tons of those.
Just kind of talking about what it's like to play them, which ones have lived up to the hype, which ones have left a little bit to be desired.
And what kind of spurred you on? How games end up getting hyped also is interesting.
Yeah, sometimes we're responsible for that. And I say we, it's a collective we.
No, it's true. It is true. Sometimes when we review a room and we're super excited about it, and then other people hear about it and they go, why did you like that room so much? What? It was awesome.
It's true.
That's happened to us all.
So what spurred you on to do this topic?
There's a lot of games that people just keep asking us, either have you played this or when are you going to play it? Like, I really want to see a review of it. And this first started for us really early on with the Escape Game Nashville.
They were one of the early companies into the market, and they actually introduced a whole lot of people to escape rooms. So people who had never heard of this concept before somehow landed at the Escape Game Nashville, had a great time, and started looking for these in Nashville or back home where they lived or whatever. And people started asking us really early on, like, have you played this game in Nashville?
I would guess that at least once a month, probably more often, for the last 2 years or so, people have been asking us, have you played the Escape Game Nashville room?
And
we still haven't.
We haven't, yeah.
But we did go and play their Orlando location. We played four games there back to back to back to back a few weeks ago. And they have some really fun stuff. Very family friendly. No real edge to them, but they've got some quality stuff.
So that's kind of where the whole concept came from.
Yeah. And while we were down there, we also played another game that company that was pretty hyped up, at least. I think it may be their name, but America's Escape Game. I think they chose their name very wisely. And they showed up on the USA Today article, and we've been hearing about them for a while. And that one, we had a bit of a mixed experience there. We really enjoyed one of their games. We were not so blown away by the other two that we saw. They weren't bad. They weren't good. We were kind of curious, and still are, why they're so hyped.
Yeah.
So some of our listeners might not know of the USA Today list, mm-hmm. if you want to explain that.
USA Today publishes a 10 best list in a whole lot of different categories. 10 best. I don't know, restaurants, hotels, all sorts of stuff, mostly travel related, to help people who are traveling narrow down the experiences that they choose to do. So for the first time this year, USA Today did a 10 best escape rooms list. And they put on their list 20 games from usually major cities. Most cities had one or two maybe on there. On that list, and then they, put it up to a vote, because this is what USA Today does. These are crowdsourced sort of lists, and people voted for which ones they thought were best, and then they ended up with a top 10 that they ranked based on the voting. So this really hyped a ton of companies, some of which we played and loved, some of which we played and not really loved, and some of which we never played. And it definitely was an interesting hype setter-upper.
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys all must have noticed that Scrap ended up topping the list.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah, I remember.
Yep.
Really?
Scrap ended up on top, yeah. Which I guess immediately resulted in a lot of dubious glances from most of the escape room enthusiasts we know.
Which room got the top of the list? I forget.
They weren't picking individual rooms.
Oh, so it was just facilities.
This was collective companies. Yeah, so if they were asking the most significant company in the history of escape rooms in North America, Scrap might be a good contender there. I'm not sure I would put them on a list of the best company out there in 2016, 2017.
Well, it
think it's difficult because for USA Today list, they're obviously not going to get out to all of the smaller towns or all of the smaller facilities that have opened up. So if there is something that's better out there, obviously, like, Scrap is the most noticeable company out there since it was one of the first, right?
And it has the biggest branding behind it.
And I don't know who put together the nomination list to begin with. Was it them? Or
they had, like, a panel of regional experts, as they described it. We emailed with USA Today a little bit to try and get some background. Yeah, they had some regional experts. We don't know who they were or how many games they had played.
But they
regional
are regional experts,
experts that aren't are that the enthusiast people of escape rooms do not know. Basically.
Right, they are regional experts in regional stuff for USA Today 10 best lists. They are experts in escape rooms, but they are experts in covering their region and drilling down to in whatever topic, finding the stuff that's worth seeing. So it was a different perspective, which was interesting. But yes, about smaller markets, to that comment, I mean, it's in their best interest to be choosing games from destination cities because this is a travel destination resource.
Anyway, the companies that, you know, there are a number of companies that we felt like we just had to discuss with you guys. And one is that I think no hype list would be complete without talking about The Basement out in Los Angeles. And now they have a location in Vegas. You guys haven't made it out to California yet, right?
Sigh.
No.
You got to do it. You really have to. The Basement, Lisa didn't get a chance to play this one. She was working, and I went and played all three games with the lovely ladies from Escape Room in a Box.
Oh, okay, cool.
And they rounded up a whole bunch of their friends and conscripted them to go into the murder basement with us. And The Basement is as intense as everybody says it is. The look, the feel, the actors, it's pretty damn nuts. From a puzzling standpoint and a gameplay standpoint, I wasn't quite as wowed. And I, you know, some of it may have just been that hearing about how amazing this is for 2 years. But the puzzles didn't match the environment in a lot of cases, where like it was just like laminated paper Velcroed to a wall. But the wall looked awesome. Yeah, so their puzzle game, like especially in their flagship game, The Basement, I wasn't blown away by the puzzling experience. They have a second room, which is called the Boiler Room, which I thought was awesome. Also had a little bit of laminated paper going on, but overall, just some of the most incredible interactive experiences I've seen in an escape room. And then they have a third game, which is called The Study. And the first two games, you're captured by this psychopath who is basically put you into the Saw scenario. In the third scenario, you've escaped into his home, and now you're supposed to be playing in real life. And in some ways, it did feel that. And then in other ways, the puzzles and the interactions and the things we were asked to do felt incredibly gamey. And that, again, left me scratching my head a little bit. Overall, really awesome company. I would say as long as you have the nerve for it, it's worth it for anybody who loves escape rooms, especially their second game, The Boiler Room.
I think surprised. One of the things that happens with these hyped companies, like people have been telling us, similarly to this Nashville room, telling us about The Basement for 2 years. You know, play The Basement. They were one of the early companies in. And then The Basement, the company, started designing these other rooms that David just mentioned. And their basement room, the original room with those paper-based puzzles, it still feels, I wasn't there, but it still feels a bit like 2 years ago. And they really wowed everyone 2 years ago with the set that they built and some of the components that they built. And the puzzling was like, yeah, cool, that's what escape room puzzling is. And now the industry has progressed. And I think this is another interesting thing that happens with overhyped games or just like very hyped games is that there are certain things that are really wow factors, but then they've been also left behind in a way.
And I'm certain that that would happen with the Nashville room, which is now a couple years old. I'm certain that if we were to go and play that, we would be like, yep, yeah, this looks like the best game of, you know, 2014.
Now, do you find that maybe it's also, like, do you keep in mind who is recommending it to you? So, for instance, you know, if we had somebody who just played their first escape room and said, oh my gosh, you have to play this, it's the best. Do you find that factors into it? Like someone who's just experienced their first thrill might have a more positive outlook than, say, somebody who's played like 40 of them?
We don't usually get that so much. I think this may just be by virtue of what we're always writing about. People who have just played their first one and are wowed are normally more like, tell me all the other ones I need to play. Let me get a piece of paper. But when we meet people from the enthusiast community, I mean, we get the whole spectrum. And like, The Basement is the absolute favorite game of one of our close friends who plays with us all the time, Jess Fellman. She's one of the few people who's written reviews on our site with us. She like absolutely loved The Basement, and she is as much an enthusiast as anyone we've ever met.
Also, I think recommendations and hype are different things. Mm-hmm. So a game doesn't get hyped by one person telling us to play it. Generally, a game gets hyped by repeatedly hearing we have to play it, or from it coming up in some media outlet like USA Today.
Yeah, it's the echo chamber effect. Yeah, that when exactly. when we're thinking about hype, we're not like, oh, you know, someone in Slack said you really should play this game. Two examples are that we have absolutely helped feed the hype on were are out in New York City is Mission Escape Games and Comnata Quest. Mm-hmm.
We're a media outlet for escape rooms now, and we keep giving those two companies very positive reviews. We keep recommending that people visit those two companies when they come to New York and they're looking for things, and that's because their stuff is great. Is their stuff very best thing for every player? No, absolutely not, especially not Comnata. They are great for a very specific market.
Their games are great. You just have to find the right one for you. And, right. you know, probably not bring your children to the sex dungeon game or right. maybe the coffin game where they actually lock you up in coffins.
But yeah, so we're a part of that when we write reviews. And you guys are a part of that when you interview people in the industry. Right.
Or just when people hop on the Facebook enthusiast group and say, hey, I'm going to X City. These are the games that everyone just piles on every single time. Out of Philly, it's, you know, I think Escape the 1980s. The hype on that one is really big, and we adored that game.
Yeah, so we helped push the hype on that one.
Yeah.
And I think some of that, too, and this is the case in Escape the 1980s, is that the owner, creator, designer person behind that game is an enthusiast and is a part of the community.
Elizabeth.
Yes, Elizabeth.
So, oh, yeah, she's been on your show.
Yes. Elizabeth is, right, she's active in the community. She's been active helping the conference that was back in Chicago in August, and there'll be another one in Buffalo in May. She's helping with that. She, you know, you guys interviewed her. She is in the Facebook community. Someone like that is a face behind a game, and that helps push mm-hmm. these games to the forefront of people's minds as well and makes them mm-hmm. keep coming up.
And her game is truly memorable. After we played it, we were surprised by it because it was one of the first games that we got through with total ease and didn't care. We just had so much fun. I think in the review we described it as the bubblegum pop of escape rooms. Mm. We were very happy when Elizabeth took that as the compliment that we meant it to be.
Well, in the end, it is truly just the experience that is worth it, to mm-hmm. no matter how difficult or how easy some puzzles are. And you were mentioning before, like, for example, The Basement, where you weren't that fond of the puzzles, but the set design and the immersion that they had was amazing. And I wonder, for different audiences, enthusiasts are always looking for a challenge. Mm-hmm. And we're, well, relatively always looking for a challenge. I actually don't expect to get too much of a challenge from an escape room anymore. not because we're so amazing. It's because they can't come up with so many new unique things and difficult puzzles, because then that would deflate newbies.
The best is when Errol says something like, "Wow, that room was great. I actually had to think."
We say the same things.
Yeah.
I mean, not because
you don't have to think to get a key out of a maze, you know?
That's true, yeah.
You don't have to think to do, well, you do have to think a little bit to put in a magic number square or whatever, but you don't really had to figure out how to do it.
I'm proud when I solve those things.
Yeah.
I think when I'm doing those things now, but I think about them very differently. It's more like, oh, that's a really interesting way to construct a maze to get a key out of it. Or, wow, I've seen far better ways to do that.
Do you find yourself, because rooms can be overhyped, right? Because we've had experiences where people have been like, play this room. It is the most amazing room you will ever play. And of course, then it's overhyped for us. And we go in and it's like, well, yeah, it was good.
It was okay.
I don't think it was mind blowing.
In fact, just the other day, we gave recommendation to a really good friend of mine who's played a few of these, but not a ton. He was going to have family in town. We recommended a particular company, and then the game that we'd actually recommended that him play, it was already booked for the time he wanted. So he played another one from them. And then afterwards, I turned to David and I was like, you know, we love that game, but that's a really polarizing game.
Yeah, this is Escape Entertainment's Manhattan Mayhem, which used to be called Monkey Mayhem.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which we absolutely adored. And whenever we send people to it, they either love it and see it the way we did, or they think we're absolutely crazy for loving it.
And they hate it. Yep. Yeah. Like, absolutely hate it. And I was like, ooh, we just sent Ben to this game that could go either way. It turned out he loved it, and it was fine. But, yeah, we thought about that after the fact. Like, when we recommend these games that are definitely not loved by all, there's risk.
And Comnata Quest is another one that is risky because not only is it about getting people in the right game with them, but what we have been finding after speaking to people who have gone and played is that they have a lot of breakage issues. And so it's kind of a roll of the dice whether you're going to get the same experience we got when we wrote the review. And I've lost count of the amount of times we've talked to people about a game there and asked them what they thought of a particular puzzle. And they're like, what are you talking about?
No, we totally get that. There was one that we used to promote, but then we started to hear a lot of maintenance issues. And so now I am less prone to suggest this room to people because I'm worried that it's just going to break on them. And there are so many other rooms they can do that we know won't break on them.
In the case of Comnata, we still recommend it because from an experience standpoint and an immersion standpoint, there really isn't anything like it for probably 1,000 miles because they're really offering a different product. Their games are not very puzzly. They're not very hard. Enthusiasts will sail through their games rather quickly, but you're going to have a pretty intense time while you're doing it for most of their games.
So what do you think makes an escape room polarizing? I mean, you mentioned possibly things like tech difficulties, but what else?
I don't think tech difficulties are actually what makes them polarizing. I think those are like clear cut. You know, you ask anybody if it was broken, you know, that's not a good thing. What we really have been noticing and what we've been enjoying a lot are games that aren't trying to be for everybody. Games that are trying to be for serious puzzlers. Epic Team Adventure has the Vault of the Volcano Gods series of games
this out is in Seattle. Seattle.
Yes, you mentioned that one.
It doesn't look like too much. You know, it's kind of cartoony in the way that it's designed, and they have these giant puzzle dispensers. But there's like 40-something puzzles in this game, and it all comes together in a giant optimization puzzle in the end. And if you really love puzzles, this is a blast. And if that's not what you're looking for, it's hell.
Another great example would be Escape Games Canada. And that is entertainment for adults. If you're looking for something soft, something you can bring your family to, something that's just, I think, less intense, that's not your place. And you're going to hate it.
Yeah.
Especially some of their games more than others.
Yeah, I mean, Lisa utterly hated The Unknown while still respecting what they did.
Oh yeah, definitely. It was incredible what they built, and I hated every second I was in it.
I read the review, yes.
I had a hard time enjoying it because I knew that it was making Lisa that miserable, and I just, like, I kept trying to intervene, and, like, the game was the game. It's intense. It's kind of crazy.
But that's a polarizing game, and I can objectively say that is a great game because that is an interesting design. They're doing brilliant things, and I hated it.
They also do immersion very well. One of the few games in Toronto that does immersion very well. But I have also heard polarizing things about that game as well.
It is one of the hyped games in Toronto. Mm-hmm.
So I would tell an enthusiast to play it because they have to check it out because it is one of the more unique games here. However, I wouldn't suggest... Well, people who I know... I would either suggest or not, because it's unknown and we can't say, but we know now, and so we know whether or not to suggest that room.
Yeah, and another example here in New York is Paradiso.
Oh, yes. Which,
you know, if you are into theatrical immersion, the actors and the set and the story and the world building, yeah, go there. And if you want some of the more puzzly things, don't go there.
Yeah, their puzzles, again, feel very dated, even though they're a new game. They focused heavily on building this feel and this environment, and their actors are incredible.
And they were able to create hype around that game in a way that many games don't. And that is a company that comes from a very different background. And they were able to court the media and court mainstream media and get a lot of buzz around their opening. So they started with this enormous amount of hype when they opened, which they created for themselves.
Yeah. And if you don't like that game, I don't know what their tickets are at this point, but they're
more expensive than most.
I think they're $50 or $60.
Wow.
Yeah,
generally,
something like that.
Generally, when you get paid actors involved, yeah, the price rises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're expensive games. So if you don't enjoy it, you're up some money on that. But they're certainly offering something different. Another company that I don't know very many people who've played it, just because it seems like there aren't a ton of enthusiasts in Chicago, or if they exist, they're not really in the community. But Escape Artistry, no relation to us, they have a game called The Railcar, which is set in this like post-apocalyptic future. And it's entirely built from recycled and reclaimed materials. So this game is the most hacked together game we've ever seen. And it looks awesome. In a ramshackle, this was thrown together, but very deliberately sort of way. The gameplay had some trouble, particularly near the end, but it was different. It was a company that was making a statement. The more that we're seeing companies that are saying, we're going to make something, but this is going to be for a specific audience, and it's going to carry a message, and we want people to feel something, whether it's awe or shock or terror or, you know, in the case of the unknown. I think that Sean and the gang over there at Escape Games Canada, like, I think they're totally fine with people walking out of that game feeling disgusted. I think that that makes them happy, which is cool. We really love seeing that. When people ask us, are escape rooms a fad? I am certain that the games that we know of from a couple years ago, the IKEA furniture or the used furniture, the paper-based puzzles, no story or light story, like that's absolutely a fad. That's not going to be a thing that we're talking about in a few years. But as we start to see people do crazier things, more unusual things, that's the future of these games. And I think that that future is going to be a lot more polarizing. There's going to be a lot of people saying, I love these types of games, and I'm going to stay away from those types. Crossroads is an example of a company that's making some statements with their games. They're outside of LA. They're in Anaheim.
And the game is Hex Rooms. And in Hex Rooms, they've done this really interesting design where each of the players is a character from
horror movie.
It's a horror movie archetype. And they've designed this game where everybody has to play out their own game, and it comes together, and they're using space.
That's my dream.
It's really neat, and it's realistically it's a 6-player game. If you go with any more or less than 6 players, you're doing it wrong. So I was playing as the virgin, and Lisa, you were the prom queen.
I was the prom queen.
Yeah. There's the nerd, there's the detective, there's the jock, and there's the rebel, which I'm not certain is really as big a horror archetype as the other ones, but you know.
But it works.
It works.
And they do some interesting design around it.
And each person is locked in their own kind of cell that's themed around that archetype. They have a series of puzzles that they have to face largely alone, but they can trade information and objects with people through various mechanisms. And once you complete your own section of the game, you reunite with the rest of the group. And then everybody is also given their own individual puzzle that they have to solve in order to, you know, the team can get out, but each player who hasn't solved their individual puzzle is considered dead at the end.
It's got really interesting just game design mechanics, and it was incredibly hyped to us. In fact, when we went to LA the first time, we didn't have time to go to Anaheim to play it, and everybody was like, oh my God, why didn't you go to Anaheim to play this game? Second time we went to LA, we went to Anaheim to play this game. And we brought with us other experienced players who had all heard the hype around this game. And in fact, one person was incredibly disappointed in it because the puzzling isn't that challenging. And that really let her down. But it has to be that way for it to be an individual experience, because every person has to be able to solve alone. And if one person can't do it at all, then the team just suffers enormously.
Yeah, if you have one seriously weak link in that game, your team is probably sunk.
Yeah.
And this is why we don't like split team games just in general, especially if you're with new people or randoms, because you're at their mercy.
Right.
It's so true.
We're snobs and elitists, but it's true.
If you could hear Errol describe a story of when he went into a split room with newbies and how snobby he sounds. But let's say, yeah, a room was overhyped to you, right? And it happens to all of us now. How much of those rooms do you think it's because, well, clearly this person really likes some aspect of it and you just don't like it? It's a personal bias. And how much of it is because you just got overexcited and it didn't live up to these vast expectations that you've set for it now?
I think there's a mixture of different factors. I think there's always the first game effect, which happens to a lot of people. I mean, we've heard so many people hype up a game that was their first one. And for some of the really early games, that's where the hype has come from. And it's tough to parse that one out. The other thing that I've noticed is the first really amazing game that people have played. For us, that was Spark of Resistance in Portland, Oregon, mm-hmm. which was the first game that kind of blew our minds. And like, you know, we felt like we saw a little glimpse of the future in it. And, you know, does that game live up to the hype? I know we hyped it up big time.
And I know a lot of people have said to us it doesn't.
Yeah.
Based on the way we described it.
Yep. And we know that they have moved their venue. And I think some of what made that game interesting was a little bit of the location that they had. But we've also still, you know, plenty of people have played it at our recommendation and loved it. But we've definitely heard that either something is, you know, isn't quite what it was when we played it, or it hasn't aged well, or we were just...
Our perspective was off, because that was the first time we saw something like that.
Yeah, which, you know, we're not beyond it either. So,
no, it's true. I think I would agree. When I go into a room now, I temper all my expectations for a room, because I'm expecting either things to break or I'm going to recognize things that I've already seen many times over. But I'm not going in there hating the room, because I will have a fun time, because it's still an escape room and I like doing escape rooms. I love escape rooms and I like being with my team. But if I see something that I've never seen before, even if the room sucks, I'm like crazy happy, because then I'm going, oh wow, that's cool. And I love that aspect of that. And I'm always worried, oh, that probably tempers my whole experience. But I could probably recognize that the room is horrible. But I do like seeing new things.
You definitely recognize when the room's horrible.
I think we do the same now. We're very level when we go in. And what we have found more recently is that we get a lot of joy out of the nuance. Even when we see, like, you know, a pretty average game, most average games will do at least one thing really beautifully. And they'll have a puzzle that we've seen a dozen or so times. And they just had a really elegant execution of it. And so, at least for myself, the more we see of that, that stuff just pleases me a lot.
No, me too. The first time I experienced smell, they used one mm-hmm. of those, I'm serious, they used one of these smell creators. And it wasn't a horrible smell, so that's good. If it was a horrible smell, I probably wouldn't have liked it. But when I entered the room and it was supposed to be immersive and we were blindfolded at the time, and then I could smell that. It was like, oh, that's cool. They actually have the smell there. And then they also had the sound proper, not a soundtrack, but sound effects, so that it felt that you were there as well. I really appreciated that. And that just happened like a month ago. So I think it's the first time I've ever had smell. You guys probably get it all the time, but it was my first time and I was excited.
We don't get smell as often as we would really expect to.
In fact, we usually only get smell in games that are particularly keen on using all the senses.
Or horror games, because the horror community has been aware of, I think it was a...
Something fog.
Froggy Fog, or I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I think it's... Is that a game company or...
Not they
a game
company. Produce smells. They have like a fog machine.
Yeah. That's It's like a company that does this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've seen more in the horror games.
Horror games use smells, and games that are particularly like we are about the senses, they use smells, and then we would be disappointed if they didn't. But yeah, I mean, we don't see it all that much.
Yeah. The thing that we've been having a harder time with playing over the last few months, we have been finding we enjoy the really good games, easy to say, and the really bad games, more than the like what we're calling perfectly average games, which are games that aren't doing anything wrong. Like when we look down our notes, there wasn't really anything wrong with this game. And then we look down our notes and we're like, but there wasn't really anything right either. You know, we break out our reviews into standouts and shortcomings. Mm-hmm. And it gets really tough to come up with either, which makes it very tough to be a reviewer.
True. I think we just did a room like last week, and then we all went out for dinner or dessert afterwards, and none of us talked about the room. It wasn't a bad room, but it wasn't amazing, and so we just sat and talked about other things.
It gave us our fix. It's like, okay, we did an escape room this week. We're good for now.
that was a lot of Orlando for us.
Yeah, and when we had to sit down and write all those reviews for Orlando, it was like, you know, it wasn't bad. We had fun doing it. It just, there wasn't anything exciting to talk about, not good or bad. It just was. It happened.
Yeah, and that's not all of the companies down there, but there is a good chunk of the games that we played, particularly in the latter portion of our trip, that just, as we were sitting down to write, really gave us a hard time.
Speaking of enjoying bad rooms,
I was going to say,
we did have that. There is this one room in Toronto, which is now the worst room I've ever done in my life.
Oh, you're bringing this up.
So I am bringing this up. And then we shared it. We told everybody else in the Toronto community, this is the worst room. I dare you to try and find a worse room than this. And they all went thinking, no, it can't be that bad. Then they came back. That is an awful room. And we spent 2 weeks just complaining about it and being angry in our Slack
chat.
There
were so many messages in that particular Slack channel that Errol ended up trying to archive it, like to, you know, to keep it, just because we couldn't stop being angry.
and because of that, I think we got more enjoyment out of it, because we couldn't help but rant about it for weeks. It was glorious.
Yeah, and so, I was like thinking of this question the whole time, like going to the opposite end of the spectrum. Have you ever been overhyped on a bad room, saying that this is the worst room you will ever play, and you go, like, it wasn't that bad?
I don't think we've ever been punked like that.
We actively avoid bad rooms where we can. Like, for example, Seattle is a really strong market. There's one particular game that everybody in Seattle says is terrible, so we just didn't play it. Because we didn't want to play a bad game while we were traveling. I mean, in New York, we play games that are known to be less great because we have more full coverage. It's our home market. But yeah, when we hear tons and tons about it being bad, we usually don't go.
And for the record, it was Mike that kind of hyped us on the badness of this room. And I didn't believe him. I was like, no, can't be that bad.
Yeah. Mike, because really, we've done a lot of bad rooms. Not that we knew they were bad to begin with. And so when we tried this room, we were thinking, oh, well, we know it's going to be bad. How bad could it be? And it was mind-bogglingly horrible. Even after they gave us the walkthrough, I'm going,
it took 40 minutes for that walkthrough.
It was horrible.
A town that's a little north of Manhattan is called West Nyack. And that's where one of Five Wits' locations is. They're in a big mall there. And Five Wits is, again, one of the big hyped companies who definitely deserves it. Their stuff is kind of breathtaking. They're not really a pure room escape as, you know, we would define it. They don't consider themselves one either, but as Lisa says, they're on the spectrum. Their stuff is just mind-boggling. And if you have a chance to see their games, particularly the ones in Syracuse, Albany, or West Nyack, which are their newer models, which are these fully automated feats of engineering, they're beautiful and just exceptional. In the very same mall as a company called Escape the Mystery Room, and I'm just going to out them. I don't care. It was the worst experience that I've ever had as a player, and it's in the same building as Five Wits. So occasionally when people are asking us where should they play, because they're, you know, they're trying to research, they're thinking about opening up a company, or they're an owner and they want to see the breadth of what the industry has to offer, I'm like, take a road trip to Five Wits and Escape the Mystery Room, and you can see both ends of the spectrum. Just choose the order wisely, because you might want to do Five Wits at the end so that you walk out feeling, you know, with a smile on your face.
But Five Wits is also a really interesting one because they are so different. Mm-hmm. And we've given them very positive reviews, which they absolutely deserve, kind of explaining what they have to offer to the industry. But they're very different from what is sort of considered a normal escape room experience. And so people have gotten really excited by reading our reviews and wanted to go do that, to which we say, yeah, of course, go do that. But understand that this isn't the same thing.
There was a room that opened here at one point that advertised itself as, this is the definitive story-driven room, right? And, like, that's how they touted themselves. I had a couple people who were also like, man, do you love story? You should do this room and everything.
Yeah.
And because of that, I went in with all of my criticism, like, alerts and ready. Because I'm like, okay, if you are the story-driven room, I am going to criticize you, like, you know,
like, no story has
like,
ever been criticized
like a professional
before.
Critic, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I went in there and it just wasn't the story-driven room to me. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't anything spectacular that was going to change the industry for sure.
There's a company in New York that charges quite a bit more than your average ticket price and advertises themselves as like the most technologically advanced escape room, which I can comfortably say it's not. It's not even close. It's not even the most technologically advanced escape room, you know, within a few blocks.
Oh, no.
Which, of course, I mean, in New York, everything's pretty close. But as soon as somebody puts the word most or something like that, that automatically, like, we'll still go in as level as we possibly can, but that will completely change the nature and tone of the review. If they're framing themselves up as the most of something, then that is the context in which we're going to review them. If they're hyping themselves, then that's on them.
Same thing if people brag about how nobody has solved their room.
Yeah.
Then there's a good chance we will rip it to shreds.
Yeah.
What are you planning on doing for 2017? Or are you not thinking about it because it's just too overwhelming? Or do you have crazy plans?
We're always working on coming up with something new and unusual to do, whether it's a name generator or who knows what else.
You want to talk about your name generator quickly?
Sure. I am an onomastician, which is an expert in names, so I really love names of all kinds. And so what I did was, we keep this map on our website of all of the RoomEscape companies in the U.S. and near its borders. And so I took all of those names and did a whole big study on what was common and pulled those words out and used the WTF engine and some help from Drew Nelson to set up a generator for RoomEscape names. So
if you just keep hitting refresh on it,
it will generate an infinite number of great names for your company.
Right. Well, some of them are just comical disasters, but sometimes it comes up with some of like the greatest escape room names that we've ever seen. So we get a lot of enjoyment out of it. We pretty much made that for ourselves.
Oh, no. Oh yeah. We just like to sit there and hit that button and laugh at the names.
Is there a favorite or top five of favorite names that you like?
I really like Sherlock Lockdown.
It came up with some great stuff with Wizard earlier this morning that was pretty funny.
So Mind this is something Wizard. You do as a daily ritual now. Just go onto your site and click generate a name.
Yeah, it's every day, or really, I don't think we had touched it in a while, but we were showing it to some of the people we had over and giggling.
Thank you so much for joining us again, David and Lisa. Just in case nobody knows who these people are, and I doubt that, they are roomescapeartist.com, and I do believe you guys are the largest, I don't know, I won't put any...
Keep your adjective, man.
Well-known,
well-read escape room review site in North America.
How about just, we are a well-trafficked site?
And I'm excited for 2017. Now you got me interested in what you guys are doing. Oh, man. Crazy.
Yes. Mission accomplished.
Do you know what?
Yeah, what?
It's Mike's birthday weekend.
Oh, that's right. We can sing him a birthday thing.
I think Mike should do the outro.
No.
Yeah.
birthday?
Yeah, it's his birthday gift.
Aren't we supposed to be nice to him on his birthday?
Yeah. Nobody's come nice on, to man. Me ever.
Yeah, so. No, but it's not your birthday. So it could be Mike's. Be nice to Mike while he says the outro.
Okay, let's try this. RuneScape Divas
is brought to you by...
Why are you trying to kiss me, Errol?
It's your birthday! I'm gonna be nice! Look, you can look at his mustache!
Wow, I'll kiss you. Okay, no harassment. Go for it.
I don't remember the thing.
Room Escape Divas
is hosted on Inverse Genius. You can find...
You can go to...
Seriously, just
InverseGenius.com. What else can you find on Inverse Genius?
Other fun podcasts. Just like this one.
Yay! And where can you email us?
At roomescapedivas@gmail.com.
Aha! And are there other social media platforms?
You can find us on Facebook and you can #REDivas on Twitter as well.
Huzzah! See?